Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Johnny Kane. He works for Bally Sports Detroit. Let's talk and learn a little bit more about the Tigers, who have been hot, hot, hot of late. Johnny, man, happy to have you on the show today, man. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Good to hear from you, man.
Absolutely, man. Long time no talk, man. Let's start with this. The Tigers were 10 games back of the Royals, I believe, in the middle of August, and they have turned into the hottest team in baseball. What has changed for the Tigers?
Yeah, dude, August 10th to be exact, 10 games out of it. And you go back to, you know, when the wild card era began back in 94, like no team has ever made the postseason. And there were a lot of, obviously, people that wrote off the Tigers, but I don't know, man. It's hard to like encapsulate exactly, you know, like there is a true team concept where you don't have one guy that has to carry, you know, any more of his share. Like obviously Riley Green leads this team in homers, average in RBIs, and Terry Skubal obviously, you know, could be the unanimous Cy Young. So those are two elite level players. But on a day to day, it's not like they're just riding their coattails. You know, it's this collective unit of guys that are maximizing their potential at the right time. And I think back to like back when I used to cover Kansas City, you know, I think back to how special that run was in 2014. And, you know, you had those young guys that came up through the system. Yes, they added a couple nice pieces in free agency. But when you talk about some of the younger players that were coming into their own, like Hosmer, Moose, Lorenzo Cain, like those guys got going at the right time and then they caught fire. And that's like what this team is doing. Like the third youngest team in baseball, and they just collectively, you know, pass the baton onto the next guy. And like some people would say it was unsustainable, but you know, you go back over the last 41 games, they're 31-19. I mean, that's how you get it done. And then you just continue, to show up every day. You wipe the slate clean. It's a brand new canvas. And then you go back to doing exactly what you did the day before. So it's been an incredible run, man. I'll be honest with you. It's as much fun covering baseball as I've ever had, and I've been covering baseball for 19 years.
I was just going to ask you, do you see the similarities between this Tigers team and the 14 Royals, that the Royals in the middle of August just got hot kind of out of nowhere and no one wanted to play them in the postseason? They eventually rode that wave all the way to the World Series. Obviously, the story is being written right now for the Detroit Tigers, but I wouldn't want to play them if I was Houston, the Yankees, or the Guardians.
Yeah, and that's kind of it, right? So everybody says you got to get hot at the right time, but how do you time that? Like, I'm a big horse racing guy, you know, and when you see a horse, say you've got a horse you bet on, when he makes his move and he makes it too early and then he gets out kicked in the home stretch, it's like, oh, man, we mistimed it, right? Didn't have a good ride, ran out of gas. You got to try to time those runs, just like Kansas City did in 2014, and when they got hot, they got hot. And if you go back to the wild card game against the A's, you know, they're down four with six outs to go, and then they continue to get hot. And then you sweep your way through the DSCS and then go to seven games against the Giants. Now, they ultimately didn't get it done with the tying run 90 feet away, but they timed it right. And so the Tigers have somehow, it wasn't like by strategy where you said, okay, hey, on August 10th or August 11th, let's turn it on now. But they've timed this run right now where you see other teams coming back to the pack, and this lead horse right now is the one that nobody wants to face. So can it continue to go? Why not, right? I mean, as A.J. Hinch said, I don't like to call it a run. Like, I don't want to call it like, hey, you guys are having a nice little streak, because streaks come to an end. Runs come to an end. He said, this is just the way we play, and I don't think anybody wants this to come to an end. So if that's the belief, right, it's not like, hey, we're playing out of our minds, and at some point we're going to come back to earth. They've been doing it for 6 weeks, right? So at some point you say, this is who we are. And then when you wake up every morning, it's not as if you're having an out-of-body experience. It's like, hey, this is who we thought we were. And now the rest of the league says, okay, this is who the Tigers are.
Right now, we're talking to Johnny Kane for a couple more minutes here. He works for Bally Sports in Detroit. This is how I've been looking at it, Johnny, and I'm curious to get your perspective. I don't think the Royals are competing with the Tigers. They are way too hot right now. They have three games left against the White Sox. The Tigers are making the postseason. Right now for the Royals, the question is, are you going to be better than the Mariners and the Twins? It's those teams fighting for those last couple of spots. But the Tigers, just given how hot they've been and their schedule, I just don't see them outright missing the postseason.
Yeah, I think that would be improbable now at this point, which is wild to consider, again, considering all the things we talked about when they were counted out. But there's a reason they play 162, and obviously both Kansas City and Detroit, you know, really good spots. I mean, I think if you had anybody call in from Minnesota or Seattle, they'd say, hey, I'd trade places with you in a heartbeat. So even though the Royals haven't been playing their best baseball, obviously, you know, big win today, you know, you're still in it. So get to the dance and then let's see. Like, I think they still are who they are, right? And over the course of the entire season, they've been a better ball club than have the Tigers. But over the last 6 weeks, you would say otherwise. So now just get to the dance. You know how that works. Like, just get there and then let's see how it goes. Minnesota, I think, is coming back to the pack. Like, they might have gassed themselves out, right? And Seattle obviously needs a lot of things to happen. Well, I'll be watching that, obviously, the Minnesota-Miami game tonight because the Tigers' magic number is 2. Same with Kansas City. And we'll see what the Twins are able to do because if they continue to slide, the more they slide, the better that obviously impacts the Tigers' chances of getting in.
What is your perception of the Minnesota Twins? That's a team that obviously we are very familiar with in this division. I've seen them a lot. You've seen them a lot as well. They have had a tremendous slide over the course of the last 3-4 weeks or so. What have you seen with this Twins team that has caused them to take this much of a stumble?
I don't know, man. And that's like that's the tough thing to pinpoint. You know, like I don't watch them every day as intently. I still think they're a good ball club, but it's like when you go through these ebbs and flows of a season – like, you can't be, you know, this is now not the time to be dipping, you know. And so then that puts a strain on everybody. And I hate to use cliches, but when it says, you know, guys are trying to do too much or the manager is going to get some heat, the reality is it's a results-based business. And I think these guys aren't coming to the ballpark playing freely, right? Because once there's expectation, you say, okay, you know, hey, we're expected to be here. Or when you lock up a guy like Carlos Correa, it's like, okay, well, this is what we need to do. These are the projections. And then you start playing tight. Right. And then guys are trying to perform up to an expectation rather than allowing the results to come naturally. I think when you look at a team like Detroit, where you say, OK, what are the expectations? Well, there aren't any. OK, so just go play free, have a little fun while you're out there and do, you know, do the fundamental things right, like do the routine things well. And I think that's like that's the difference in the styles, like the brand of baseball that we're watching. So it's a much more enjoyable brand to watch. But I can't pinpoint what it is for Minnesota. And I do feel for those guys because, see, that, like, you know, you've seen it too, man. You've covered Royals baseball for a long time. Like, sometimes when it's not working and then you start reaching for why it's not working, sometimes it just doesn't work, right? I mean, sometimes it's the construct of a team. Sometimes it's just you just aren't playing your best ball at certain times. And it's more of a broad brush of, hey, we're just not playing good ball. Why? X, Y, and Z, you know? I don't think it's easy to pinpoint, but they got to figure it out. And right now, the sand in the hourglass is running out.
Last question here for Johnny Cain. He covers the Detroit Tigers. They have been the hottest team in baseball for the last couple of weeks. They are in contention with the Royals for one of the wild card spots. It's been their biggest nemesis, I would say, over the last 3-4 weeks or so. At least on this show, I want the Royals to play the Orioles. I do not like their chances against Houston. We're talking about a team that has been to the postseason in 7 years with the Royals offense. I don't want anything to do with the Astros. I'm wondering from you guys' side, do you care who you play in the postseason or with this run that the Tigers have been on, you guys will take any opponent that is in front of you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, again, you kind of let all that stuff play out, and then once you start trying to pick an opponent, like, you know, at first it's like, hey, man, we're not supposed to get in, and then you get in, and then all of a sudden you say, hey, I think we match up better here. If every team, if you put on alert every team that's out there, like, I think New York's really good. Like, I do. I think the Orioles, like, we've taken 5 out of 6, and we faced them twice, you know, in the last 2 weeks. So it's like, once you have their attention, it's like, put the pressure on the opponent and don't necessarily worry about, you know, where you match up better. Let them worry about how they match up against you. So, you know, get in. Like, for the Tigers, they haven't been to the playoffs since 2014. And if you remember back then when Kansas City went on its run, you know, the Orioles swept that Tiger team, and that Tiger team was stacked, especially from a pitching standpoint, right? That was Scherzer, Verlander, Porcello. And the Royals didn't, you know, they hadn't played the Tigers that well all season long in the division. And then all of a sudden, the Orioles swept the Tigers out of it. So the Royals ended up getting matched up with Baltimore, and then they swept Baltimore. And there was that unbelievable line from Gerard Dyson, I remember, after the Royals had taken the first 2 in Baltimore. And I forget who it was for the Orioles, but he said, yeah, we just got to go to Kansas City, you know, win 3 games and come back here and finish it at home. And Gerard said, I don't believe that, and I don't think they do either, right? But he said the right thing, and they ended up sweeping them. So, again, I think the Tigers have put the rest of the league on notice, and I think as long as they say we don't want to face you, the Tigers will say, okay, we'll play whoever we get.
That is our guy, Johnny Cain, joining us on the show today. He's with Bally Sports of Detroit. He is covering the hottest team in baseball. Johnny, man, it's been fun to watch your journey over the last decade or so. You've done great stuff with the Lions, with the Pistons, and now you're covering the hottest team in baseball, man. I hope that you guys have a tremendous postseason run, man.
I appreciate it, brother, and continued success to you as well, man. Life's a blessing.
Absolutely. That is Johnny Cain joining us on the show today. He used to be here in Kansas City. He now went back home to Detroit, and he covers all things Detroit.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, back in on The Drive. This is my promise to you. We are going to have Josh Vernier on the show. I'm going to move his appearance to today as opposed to Friday. We'll get back to football tomorrow. We're going to take a trip to Minnesota coming up in about 10 minutes. I want to talk to you guys, 913-586-7965. If you would like to call in and talk Royals, we will take your phone call. So pick up the phone. You want to talk a little Royals? We are happy to do that. We have been talking a lot about Lucas Erceg today, and Lucas Erceg is, in my opinion, the biggest reason of how they won this series and how I think you can have hope about this team going into the postseason. I can give you guys the starting pitching numbers because starting pitching-wise, they have gotten quality starts for a while. But the bullpen has remained a question for this team. Lucas Erceg, at least on the back half of it. Now, you got to get to a save opportunity, but Lucas Erceg pitched three consecutive days for the first time in his career. He got a save in all three of these games against the Nationals. He pitched three innings, zero hits, zero earned runs, did not walk a batter, and had four strikeouts this weekend. There was a text that we got earlier, and I told the person that we were going to talk about this. Let me go ahead and find it. 913-586-7965. All right, I found it. C-Dot, can you talk about the thinking behind using Lucas Erceg to pitch three games in a row? Bubich could have easily gone another inning tonight and kept Erceg fresh for Atlanta. But then again, I am not a baseball manager. Make the postseason. If the Royals clinch this thing tomorrow on a Friday, you know what Saturday and Sunday are? Light days. Erceg doesn't pitch on Saturday. He doesn't pitch on Sunday. You have an off day on Monday as a travel day so you can head to wherever you're going to be for the wild card, and then you go from there. Right now, Lucas Erceg is the person that I trust the most here. So if the Royals, so today they have a two-game lead. If the Twins lose today, it can be one game. The Royals can clinch a playoff spot tomorrow. That is all I'm worried about if I'm Matt Cotraro, if I am this organization. Let's make the postseason, and then we can deal with the rest days. We can give Erceg 2-3 days in between, and we can have him ready for the postseason. But you got to get into the dance. And I am happy, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Rob, before we go to the phone lines. I am happy that their manager was managing like these were postseason games because that is exactly what they were. You could not afford to lose these games. You're going up against this team, this opponent, a team that has nothing to play for, and your offense has been struggling. We got to take every single advantage that we have. And right now, one of their biggest advantages that they have is Lucas Erceg. So you got to use him here. Now, I don't know what that means for the Royals next week. I don't know what that means for the Royals in 2 weeks, but I know you had to take care of business this week to unlock next week, which could hopefully help you unlock 2 weeks from now. So I don't have any problem with the way that they use Lucas Erceg. I would use him again tomorrow if you got to. If you are in a position where you can make the playoffs tomorrow, you use Erceg for a fourth consecutive day, and then you can give him 3 days off, and hopefully he's fresh for Tuesday. Maybe you don't even need him on Tuesday against whomever you play. But right now, you got to take care of what you can take care of. And you are not in the postseason. You are on the doorstep. You are 98% there, 99% there. You maybe have to win one more game to ensure that you make the postseason.
I think it goes beyond just Erceg. I'm going to credit Q. He managed today's game and, honestly, Tuesday's game like they were postseason games. Not just Erceg on 3 days rest, on three straight days, He was aggressive. I'm bringing in a lefty early in the ninth inning. MJ Melendez, a guy that's been much maligned. I trust him. Hey, it's righty-lefty. It's the ninth inning. It's a tie game. Here we go. Okay, he got on base. Pinch runner. Boom. Immediately. Steal second. Calls for the delay steal. A situation they haven't used much this year. Doesn't matter. We're pulling all the bag of tricks out. It doesn't matter. It's the Nationals. Today is must win. Whether they saw the Detroit score on the scoreboard or not, it doesn't matter. They were all in on winning today. And with now three games left and postseason baseball, that is the energy you need. You need to treat every day like it is do or die, which is why Vern, to his credit, all the time on the pre- and post-game show talks about how baseball has two seasons. There's baseball season, which is the marathon, and then there's the sprint. I don't know if the Royals are going to make any noise in the postseason if and when they make it, but I know this. It appears, based on this series against the Nats, and we can see it maybe in the future series against the Braves, Matty Q is managing like every day is do or die, and that's what you want to see in October, because it's not, hey, we'll live to fight another day, go get him tomorrow, baseball's only as good as your next day starter. Today could be your last day, so credit to him.
Another point I think that's very important in this conversation is Lucas Ursek pitched 35 pitches the last couple of days. It would be different if one of those you thought was a strain and he gave you 25 pitches on one of those days and you felt like he was overworked. He's thrown 35 pitches over the last 3 days. So maybe you don't need him tomorrow. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, the weather is not holding up in Atlanta. I'm not even sure if the Royals are going to play tomorrow. But you got to take care of business today and worry about tomorrow tomorrow. Let's go to the phone lines. If Rob puts you on hold, we will take your phone calls, 913-586-7965. We're also going to head to Minnesota here coming up in a bit. There are only three teams alive for the wild card aside from Baltimore. It is the Tigers, the Royals, and the Twins. We've already been to Detroit. We're going to head to Minnesota here coming up in a bit. Let's go to the phone line. Stephanie called into the show. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing today?
Hi. I say I'm not just saying we're going to postseason. I say we're going to the World Series. I want to see another World Series win.
You know what, Stephanie? I love your optimism and hopefulness. You know what? I appreciate you calling in today. I appreciate you, Stephanie. That's a step too far that I'm willing to go right now. But you know what? I love the hopefulness. I love the optimism. I don't know if you can get a dynasty with the Chiefs and another World Series with the Royals. You got to pick one. I don't know if the sports guys are going to give you both. It's a little selfish. Let's go back to the phone lines. Brandon, you called into the show. How you doing today, Brandon?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. I want to shout out you, Carrington, man. You connected, man. So I appreciate you getting the Bally Sports Detroit guy on the radio. I am born and raised from Detroit, and I live in the Kansas City area with work, and it's crazy. It was like we were stuck. We're on the Mamba. I'm a Tigers fan, and we're on the Mamba ride, and we're stuck at the top. And I don't want to fall down off the Mamba. I don't want to go down this 100-foot drop. So it's amazing, man. Just a blink of an eye, you can miss it, man. All-star game. I'm like, we're trying to sell everything. Scooble's on the trade block. Like, we're sellers. I'm like, man, please don't trade Scooble. And it's dope to know that all we got to do is beat the White Sox a couple times, maybe one time. Who knows what the Twins are doing? It is, they're falling, and it sucks to be them. But as a Lions, Tigers, I guess you can say when the Lions suck, I used to root for the Chiefs because our season was done by week six. We're 1-6 with Matt Patricia. So I listen to y'all every day, man. I love what y'all doing. I can hear y'all more clear because I switched to 96 to 5 fan and, man, it's crazy. It's good vibes, man. I appreciate everything y'all doing. I just wanted to stop by and say that, man.
You know what, Brandon, man? I appreciate you, man. Good luck to your Lions this year, man. Thank you, man. We appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you saying I'm connected. I'm not just connected in Detroit with my man Johnny Kane. We were connected to a higher power. We had a psychic on the show a couple days ago. He told you guys what was going to happen.
We'll know by Thursday because everything shifts on Thursday. I think 4th, 5th inning tonight.
That's good. You want to know why that's good? Mm. Because their series against the Nationals, guess when it ends?
It ends on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, I did some research.
That noon game will tell it all.
It is on
Thursday. 4th and 5th inning will tell everything tonight. Tomorrow, it will be the 2nd and 3rd and 4th inning, and then at the end of the game. But it's the noon game in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Connected to a higher power, man. You guys laughed at me, mocked this show for having him on here. He came on here and told us exactly what was going to happen. We might have him back. Let's go back to the phone lines. Showtime, Casey, you called into the show, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Carrington. Big Bob and the boys are playing some ball, C-Dot. And how about the bullpen, especially my guy, Lights Out, Lucas Irsay. And shout out to my guy, Lights Out, Lucas Irsay, getting it done in the ninth inning. Keep it going. Let's go Royals. Shout out to all my Royals fans out there. Showtime, Kansas City. I'm out.
Showtime KC, man, we appreciate you. We love the excitement, man. We got Dan Hayes. He is covering the Minnesota Twins. Dan, I'm going to guess that you guys aren't that excited in Minnesota right now, especially with how you guys have been playing of late.
Hey, you know, they've been wearing this for about 6 weeks now, because 6 weeks ago they were 17 over 500 and things looked great, and they had that game they blew in Texas. They were going to sweep a four-game series from the Rangers. Had a 4-0 lead with Pablo Lopez on the mound. The bullpen came in and coughed it up, and gone downhill since. I think they're 12-23 since that point. And at this point, basically, you have to hope for some real help from the Atlanta Braves and take care of your own end. And that's certainly not a position they envision themselves being in whatsoever. But, I mean, it's their reality, and certainly they are trying to deal with it. But, yeah, there's an air of uneasiness without question.
I mean, you guys have basically been the opposite of the Tigers. The Tigers have been the hottest team in baseball since the middle of August. You guys are on the opposite end of the spectrum. You just mentioned how many games they were over 500. What happened with Minnesota? What's fallen apart? With the Royals, you can kind of pinpoint it back to the injury with Vinny Pasquantino, certainly when this offense took a change. What was the change with Minnesota?
Well, August 7th, Joe Ryan went down. That meant they had three rookies in the rotation, none of whom is really somebody they trust going more than five innings, and they've all reached career innings pitch limits because basically all of them had never touched the majors before this year. Simeon Woods Richardson, David Festa, and Zebby Matthews, who debuted against the Royals a week later there. You know, that's one thing. Having Carlos Correa out for 53 games was massive. I think they really missed his voice and just in the clubhouse and guiding young players. And I think that, you know, the weight of this fell on an offense that was young and trying to deal with it for the first time, and they've slumped. You can look at a lot of guys, Royce Lewis, Jose Miranda. When we're around the All-Star break, early July, these were some of the hottest hitters in baseball. At one point, I think it was July 5th, the Twins were the fifth highest scoring offense in baseball. Since then, since August 12th, I think that's the day that Byron Buxton went out with a hip inflammation. He missed 28 games at that point. Their offense went dormant. Last night, they hit their first home run in 8 days. You know, they just haven't been a powerful bunch the way they had been early in the season. And they're just, you know, everything has fallen apart at once. Not enough pitching, not enough offense. Defense has been shoddy at times. And the bullpen just got tired. And I think when you have those kind of issues all surface at the same time, anybody's going to run into some issues. A team without its best players, Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa, is going to really struggle with those issues.
Right now we're talking to Dan Hayes. He covers the Minnesota Twins for The Athletic. Dan, can you give us a fan check right now? What's the temperature? As you would guess, Royals fans were pretty down on this team after the weekend. They scored one run in the series against the San Francisco Giants, but the Nationals were on the schedule. The Royals sweep that series, and now fans are hopeful and optimistic again. Their magic number could be one today, depending on the result of the game that you're going to be at. Where are Twins fans right now? What's the temperature of that fan base?
They are ecstatic that Sam Darnold and the Vikings are 3-0. That's what the temperature of the Twins fan base is right now. I think that a lot of people are, you know, it's been a tough year. The team was coming off that amazing year last year. They cut payroll by $30 million. Ownership really kind of dropped the ball there. I think fans were really disgruntled going into the season. They started 7-13. You know, they got hot. Fans were sort of getting back on board. Attendance was going up, but I think they're back at disgruntled and tuning them out. And again, the Vikings are 3-0. The Timberwolves are about to start here in, you know, the next month. I think that people are just sort of getting ready for that next wave of sports and more excited about that. And that doesn't surprise me at all. You know, the trade deadline was disappointing for the Twins. They didn't add any player on the waiver wire. You know, I mean, a guy like Tommy Pham, just adding him because they had waiver priority over Kansas City at the time. Adding him would have been a move. The Twins, you know, just something to fire fans up. They haven't done a very good job of that this year. And I think it's really carried over because there's a lot of disinterest right now.
Two questions here left for Dan Hayes, who covers the Twins for The Athletic. You guys have one more game against Miami. You guys have three games this weekend against Baltimore. Baltimore also in the playoff picture. What's your level of optimism? What's your hope for the Twins over these next 4 days?
Well, certainly the fact that the Royals won today, I think, puts a little damper on it. I put it about Kansas City at 75%, the Twins at 25%. I mean, look, the Braves, like, that's a tough place to play. It's going to be, you know, interesting weather conditions with the hurricane rolling through and the remnants of the hurricane rolling through. The Twins absolutely need to basically run the table here, and they need to hope that Baltimore is just setting themselves up for that postseason appearance next week, and more worried about that than what they do this weekend. And mailing it in, and the Braves play the Royals tough, because at this point, I don't, you know, technically, yes, I guess the White Sox are the hottest team in baseball, having swept the Angels, but I don't think they're going to beat the Tigers once, let alone twice. And, you know, a sweep is probably not on the table there either, unless Detroit's sweeping. So really, the Twins are big Atlanta Braves fans, and hoping that they can take what they got last night and build off of it.
Dan, I'm not getting a lot of sense of hope and optimism from you right now. That's not the vibe that I'm getting. When I was talking to Johnny Cain from the Tigers, it was so much hope, optimism, which makes sense. They've been winning. You sound kind of beat down by how they played the last couple of weeks.
You know, I mean, like, you just see, like, this team's been beat up all year. I mean, the rotation problem was the rotation plan was flawed going into the season. You knew that the pitching could be a problem. It has been a problem for this team. And the tough part is that, you know, against Kansas or against Cleveland last week, the Twins, they lost 3-1 run games. Two were walk-offs or last at bat wins for Cleveland. It's tough when they had that kind of gut punch, and then they came back and had a great win on Friday in Boston. Got rained out on Saturday in Boston, and went into the doubleheader on Sunday with Pablo Lopez pitching in one of the games and with Zebby Matthews, and they lost. They were outscored 17-3. You know, in arguably their biggest day of the season, and they followed that up by losing to the Marlins on Tuesday night. It's just, it's been 6 weeks of this team can't put together two good days at any point. And so you get that sense that it's really going to be hard for them to do this. Do I think it's possible? Of course. Carlos Correa, even though he's probably playing on one leg, he's probably playing about 60%. Byron Buxton's probably 75% right now. They're playing some Herculean baseball right now. The two of them are incredible. Buxton homered last night, was his 100th game. It's only the second time in his career he's played 100 games, but they just haven't had enough contributions from other guys on the roster. I think a lot of the other guys are low in gas, and you can sense it. I mean, there's a lot of effort. You can see that part. They're just not getting results, and they definitely are feeling it.
That is our guy Dan Hayes joining us on the show today. Dan, I will say this. I love talking to you, but if we talk to you again, something went terribly wrong for the Royals.
I know. It's funny, when I left my house yesterday, because I live in Chicago, I commute to Minnesota, I took an extra bunch of clothes, and I told my wife, I was like, you know, it's probably going to be 7 days, but maybe I'll see you in a month. And she laughed. She's like, yeah, right, I'll see you next week. So it kind of is what it is at this point for the Twins.
That is Dan Hayes joining us on the show. Dan, I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
That is Dan Hayes joining us on the show. I'm sorry. That was funny. Royals fans, you cannot be worried about that team we just heard. That's their beat writer. He watches them every day. You could not have heard that and be like, I don't know, man. I'm worried about that team. That sounds like a team that can't wait to go on vacation. That sounds like a team to me that cannot wait for this season to be over. Rob, is that the vibe that you got? This is the guy who watches them every single day. He's on every trip. He knows this team. He's telling you this season is cooked, done.
Can you imagine?
He gave me no reason to feel hopeful about the Minnesota Twins. None.
Can you imagine if Nate Taylor came on this show and was like, I don't know, guys, it's over. They're just sorry. I got nothing left for you. It's been a disaster for 6 weeks. I know it's baseball and football are different, but Dan Hayes is basically the Nate Taylor of the Twins, and he's like, yeah, I get to go back to Chicago in 7 days because the season's over.
That story about his wife was funny, man.
It really was.
Let me go back to the phone lines. 913-586-7965. Justine, you called it to the show. How you doing, Justine?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing good. Happy to have you call in today.
It's a good day to be a Kansas City Royals fan.
For sure.
So I just wanted to say, I'm not sure if there's any tickets left, but if you haven't gotten your postseason tickets, they went on sale yesterday, and I secured game one of the ADLS. So we're just hoping to get through that wild card, and I'll get to see some October baseball at Kauffman. And so if you haven't had a chance, check it out and see if there's any extra tickets still available. Got them face value, so not too pricey at this point.
You know what, Justine? Thank you so much for telling people that. You know what, that's the kind of hopefulness and optimism I need. I put my money where my mouth is. I already got my seats, she said. I got my tickets. I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? Are they going to give you your money back if they don't make it? Because, you know, I can see the Royals trying to be on some funny, oh, hey, you can roll it over to next season. I can see it being some tomfoolery with them. I don't know, but that's just a guess of mine. I can see it being some shenanigans with them. Oh, hey, we're going to give you a credit for opening day. Nah, that's not what I want. Give my money back. All right, we're going to take more of your calls, 913-586-7965. If you call, Rob puts you on hold. We will take your call. Vern's going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. We're talking baseball the rest of the way. If you're upset that we're not going through Chiefs hypotheticals, tomorrow we will do that. They're 8-point favorites over the Chargers. You guys hate the Chargers anyway. Tomorrow I'll pick the Chargers to win. You'll be mad. Well, balance will be restored tomorrow on the show. But today we celebrate the Royals as they are 2 games away from the postseason. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton is here as well, taking you up until 6 o'clock. We are going to head to Josh Vernier coming up in about 15 minutes or so. We are talking all Royals the rest of the day. If you are sad that we are not talking about the Chiefs, trust me, we will get back to the Chiefs tomorrow on a Red Friday. I am a little bit disappointed that we didn't get more of an opportunity to talk about this, where Richard Sherman called Trevor Lawrence a knockoff Gardner Minshew.
At $55 million, benefit of the doubt is gone. We're putting it on you. Wins and losses are on your back. It's unfair responsibility, but that's what you're getting paid. Your paycheck says, hey, responsibility.
That's what the money is for.
I'm going to give you Gardner Minshew's stats. Gardner Minshew's record is 16-24. That's a 40% winning percentage. Completed 63% of his passes, 62 touchdowns, 27 interceptions, a 90.3 quarterback rating, 18 fumbles lost. And we're going to go through Trevor Lawrence's record. 20-33, 37.7% winning percentage, 63.2 completion percentage, 60 touchdowns, 40 interceptions, 84.5 passer rating, 21 fumbles lost. People are going to call me crazy because he was labeled a generational talent coming out because he's handsome. He has the long hair. He looks the part. He's just a name brand Gardner Minshew. For what they're getting right now out of Trevor Lawrence, they could have kept Gardner Minshew and they would have got at least equal level play.
Hey, man, if you call me name brand Gardner Minshew, I got to find you and we got to get into a physical confrontation, man. We got to fight. I'm serious. I am happy that everybody else is coming to the same side that I've been on for Trevor Lawrence for 5 years. It took a while, and sometimes things take time. Sometimes you got to go out and experience it for yourself, and then you see for yourself. I've been telling you that Trevor Lawrence was fraudulent for years, and you guys blamed everybody else. Oh, it was Urban Meyer. Oh, it was no, it's him. He's the problem. I've been telling you. I wish we had more time to get into that, but you know, we're not doing that today. We're only talking Royals. I just had to play that. So, I mean, come on now. Somebody making that kind of comparison, that's what this show is known for. A name brand Gardner Minshew. That's not good. That's not good at all. Mike, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to say I appreciate the job that you guys do. Your analyst of how the Royals are going has been spot on, I think. I really liked it when you brought on the psychic. And I thought that was pretty funny. I want to make sure you touch all the bases, though. I think you should call the Kansas City St. Joseph Diocese and see if you can get the Bishop to put a special blessing on the Royals because God knows they're going to need it.
You know, Mike, that's a great idea, Mike. I appreciate that. We might have to bring somebody in next Tuesday to put a blessing over the Royals. And we might have to do that. That's a really good idea, Mike. Thank you. We already looked into the future to tell you how things were going to go. So we need to, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Mike, for that. I really do appreciate that. Seriously, I really do. I'm very happy to get Vern's opinion on this coming up in a bit to hear what he thinks about the Royals and where we are and where we currently sit in the magic number. I'm really happy to catch up with him. I do want to talk about this before we do this. I understand that it has gotten lost in the middle of all the pitch of all the hitting woes that the Royals have had. They have gotten incredible starting pitching over the course of the last couple of weeks and would not be in this position where they were able to hold on if it wasn't for their starting pitching. Whether it was Cole Reagans, whether it was Michael Lorenzen who went out there, and I know he left early, but even when he came out, they have held up. Their pitching in September when they really needed it has tried to keep them afloat. And shockingly enough, when the Royals could put up a couple of runs, they were able to hold on and win. So whether it was starting pitching-wise, their bullpen has actually been pretty good. Rob, you want to know when their bullpen turned the corner? When they got James MacArthur out of it. That's kind of when you start to see a little bit of a return. They got rid of some of the bad eggs in the second half of the season, and they've kind of tightened this thing up. I think their bullpen, I don't look at their bullpen as a liability heading into the postseason. If Urseg is going to be your closer, you're going to use less starters just because you don't need five starters in the postseason. I actually think they're in a decent spot heading into it. This isn't the 14 or 15 Royals. No one is confusing their bullpen with that. But, I mean, right now, the only question for the Royals heading into the postseason is, can they score enough? I don't have questions about the starting pitching. I don't really have that many questions about the bullpen. The question is going to be if they put up enough runs. Because I think we all can see, hey, if the Royals play a three-game series, you scored three or four runs in that series, you are not going on the road and beating Baltimore. You're not going on the road and beating the Astros if you can't scratch runs across. That's the only question I think you have about the Royals in this series and over the course of the postseason is they're going to have to get hot offensively to really help you dream if they can make a Cinderella dazzling run.
We talked about it. Reagan started on Tuesday. So we talked about it on Wednesday. About how the Royals' path to win in the postseason is through starting pitching, and that is the goal. But I think one of the reasons why, again, when they're playing postseason baseball on Tuesday, why fans should have a level of optimism is Reagans and Lugo or Reagans and Waka or Reagans and Singer are games one and two. You feel like you might not have an advantage in both those games, but you're not at a disadvantage. And then you got the bullpen to at least continue to shut teams down. Like today, Waka gave up four, and then the bullpen was lights out. Yesterday, the bullpen was incredible, and we don't need to talk about Tuesday, where Reagans and the bullpen didn't give up a run. Like, they were nothing short of sensational. So I think what was once a weakness, I don't want to say is a strength now, but I do not believe the bullpen will be the reason the Royals eventually exit the postseason. I think they're going to lose games in the postseason. I don't think this is some magic 14 run. I know today's a day for excitement. I know today's today for we're going to the postseason, all the excitement.
You also got to keep in mind who they beat over the last 3 days. I think that's a fair thing. I'm all about being hopeful and being, but I mean, this was the last gimme that they have the rest of the way. This is a team that is done, cooked. You did exactly what you were supposed to do to that team. If you're a playoff team and you need these games, you can't afford to drop one to the Washington Nationals. You had to win all three of those games.
Which the Twins did not do to the Marlins, by the way.
And that's why they're missing the postseason. Exactly. And that's exactly why they're going to miss the postseason. This is where I don't know if I disagree with you, but I would maybe phrase it a little bit differently. I think we have got to the point where their bullpen is not their Achilles heel. Where 2 weeks ago, if I had asked you, what's the Achilles heel of the Royals? I think a majority of people would have answered the bullpen. The bullpen's going to mess things up. You remember, we were asking people, hey, it's 5-3. You're heading into the seventh inning. What's your order? I'm not as worried about that anymore. Are they going to be up 5-3 heading into the seventh inning? They're going to score five runs in one of those games. If they score five runs in any of game one or game two, they have to win. You have to figure out a way to win that game with this offense. Them giving you five runs is a blessing. Is a blessing. So you've got to figure it out if that's the case. Have to. All right, let's step aside here. 913-586-7965. We're going to step aside. Vern's going to be on the other side. We're going to take a final trip to Minnesota. Henry Lake is going to be on the show. We are talking Royals the rest of the way. If you want Chiefs, I'm sorry. Come back tomorrow. We ain't got you today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.